Feats and Fates is a 5th edition D&D actual play, bringing like-minded gamers together to share a story and have fun doing so. Our current story, Ghoul Island, is a campaign publication written by Cthulhu Mythos writer Sandy Peterson. So if you're unfamiliar with something, just ask us. Reach out to us on our socials and we can discuss any new mechanics that were added that may have not been discussed. Content warning. We do swear quite a bit. You've been warned. Proceed with caution. Do you enjoy our show? Please take the time to rate or review us on your listening platform so we are seen and others can listen too. Isn't growing a community awesome? And we are on social media. Who isn't nowadays? While we are most active on Twitter, we also have Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and even our Patreon. And what is that username? Well, it's at Feats in Fates. And that's with the letter N, not the word and. So that's FEATSINFATES. Want to support the show so we can continue making more episodes? Become a patron today and share the love. Now why don't we head back to the tavern and see where that old barkeep is going to take us next.
Welcome back to the tavern. Well, I see you're still around. And so is that dreaded storm. So, why don't I just go and get you a fresh ale and we continue our tale. A tale of feats and fates. Now, where was I? Yes, that is right. In chapter 1, our trio set sail aboard the Hazel's Folly, and they spent the entire day working very, very, very hard. So, let's pick up right there on that next day, right here in chapter 2, the oncoming storm.
After a long day of manual labor, and the relaxing melody of Banda's flute paired with the rhythmic beatings of Invis's drums, your first full day on the Hazel's Folly has come to a close. The triplets and Aiden all stay up on deck and sleep under the crystal clear night sky, the main deck being brushed by the light of the moon above. As the boat rocks back and forth to the gentle waves of the sea, the night goes on without incident, and that is your long rest. It's not long before you begin to hear the bustling sounds of the feet on the creaking wooden planks above your heads on the main deck, water dripping through the cracks to your sleep sacks. Each of you get up, get dressed, and you make your way to the main deck where you're greeted by Captain Senza and Aiden alike. Captain Senza looks at each of you.
Well, good morning. I see that you are finally up. Please. Make your way to the station, any station, doesn't matter where, and begin helping to get the ship ready for another long day of sailing.
As she says this, each of your faces are kissed by the dawning light of the sun that has begun to peek over the horizon, the sky being beautiful shades of oranges, purples, and pinks, not to mention blues, as the dark morning sky bids its farewell until this evening. So, I'll start off with Niru. Niru, what do you want to do today?
You know what? He seemed like he was having a lot of fun doing it. So I'm going to let Invis find something new. I'll start swabbing the poop deck.
Okay. All right. So you go upstairs and you get to the main deck, at which point Matwa, who is also working on swabbing the deck, he looks over to you. If it isn't my blue friend that almost got you with the barrel. What was that, yesterday? Oh, yeah, yesterday. How are you doing this morning?
I mean, I've been worse. It's been better, though.
I can definitely understand that. So, decided to give swabbing the deck a try as he's handing you a mop.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give that a shot.
All right, go ahead and give me a athletics or acrobatics check, whichever one you're more like, whichever one of your choice. I think it's probably acrobatics for you.
I'm doing a not great job.
All right. So as you go, like mopping back and forth, you actually trip yourself up and almost fall. But you manage to catch yourself before you look, you know, completely ridiculous. Envis, as Senza hears you say that you want to do something new. So what is it that you would like to learn?
What are my options, Captain? What have you got? I would like to learn lots of things. I consider myself a student of the world. I like to learn everything from everyone as much as I can.
Captain kind of looks for a second. She's like, well, if you're strong and quick with your hands, you can learn to rig. Riggers are always needed on both sides of the ship to make things a little bit easier. On top of that, you can help prepare food with Nebby downstairs. You're more than welcome to try to learn to cook.
I will help Nebby prepare food.
Okay. So as you go into the kitchen, Nebby turns around. She's already there. She's already started preparing food for the morning. She looks around like, huh.
Well, if it isn't my green friend, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you decided to work with me today. Well, we'll tell you that we are not preparing cat, so I hate to get your hopes up. But if you would, go ahead and grab those utensils over there and let's get to work chopping vegetables.
So go ahead and give me a survival check.
Okay. Are you sure, Nebby? I can see about procuring some different things like the felines. Oh, crap. 4 + 2, 6.
All right. John, who did I say you're working with? Matwa?
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, Helmy, what are you going to do today? Do you want to go back and help with the rigging or do you want to learn a new task?
I would like to learn something new. I actually would like to work with Casa in whatever she is doing.
Casa is working on rigging.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then I will do some more rigging.
Okay.
But I would like to do it with Casa.
As you approach the front of the ship, you see Casa as she is already preparing the sails. And from what you have learned yesterday is each one of the rigs holds to a different sail. So she is commanding the smaller one at the very top of the mast. As you kind of walk over to her, she looks over to you and be like, I knew I was going to have to talk to somebody eventually. Well, at least it's another girl. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. I hope I'm not interrupting, but I would love to assist you today if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I mean, it sometimes it takes more than one person. Just mind what you're doing. Do it right. No questions asked. And go ahead and give me a acrobatics check.
All right. Come on. I want to impress Casa.
As you begin working with Casa, she noticed that you actually got the hang of it from Ade. And she doesn't say much, but she quickly turns and she says, that's not bad. And she just kind of goes back to what she was doing.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
So life on the ship is pretty routine. It's going to be the same thing, like same task over and over again. The skies are clear. No real storm clouds ahead. A few, maybe one or two gray clouds in the sky, but overall, it's pretty clear. It's sunny, no chance of thunderstorms, it looks like, and everything is going fine. So, time passes as y'all are working together. So, tell me, I finished on you. Trying to talk to Castle?
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to. Just kind of... So, how long have you been working with this crew?
Well, me and my brother, we've been here for... Not like it's any of your business, but since you asked... And yeah, I'll tell you. Don't know why it's keeping you from doing your work, but we've been here for a little bit. Captain Senza, she found us not long after she bought the ship, and me and my brother decided to come work for her. There. Now that's enough small talk. Let's go back to work.
Oh, okay.
Like she's got a very mercurial temperament, like kind of straight laced, I want to get this done. Not very charming or friendly like a brother at all. Almost the complete opposite. As time goes by, let's go with Nuru. Are you trying to talk to Matwa at all?
Yes, I will. Sure, why not? He tried to run me over the barrel. Sure. So, Matwa.
Hey.
So it brings you three out of the mountains.
Huh. That's a long story for another day. Short end of the stick is that me and my siblings, we just wanted to explore the world.
Right. So is this your first time actually being out on the boat? Like, this is your first ship, or have you been on other ships?
As you ask that, Matwa stops scrubbing the deck, and he kind of takes a shortened mop. That way it works for his height. So he kind of takes his hands and puts both of them on top of the mop and just kind of rests his head there like he's thinking for a second. And before he can even answer, Olo turns around. Matwa, I thought I told you to stop slacking off and get back to work. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, Olo. And he immediately disregards the question you ask and just starts getting back to work.
And at this point, at the bottom of your screen would be like, Nuru will remember this.
Envis.
Yes.
Any conversation with Nebby?
Yeah, sure. So Nebby, tell me about yourself, girl.
Oh, well, you know. As you can tell, I'm a half-elf. I have, you know, kind of half-pointed ears. They call me Short Ear for short. My name is Nebby. I'm a cook. And she's quickly just chopping an onion as she's saying all this. Like, as you can see, I like to cook for everybody.
You got anybody special in your life?
If I did, I wouldn't be on this ship.
Nebby, someone as gorgeous as you's got a man in their life. Tell me about him.
You ain't gonna win any favors with me by trying to suck up to me, but you, if you're hungry, you can have an apple over there and I won't tell anybody.
What about a cat?
And she just, like, drastically sighs and shakes her head. And then she dumps the onions into the pot and grabs a potato and starts peeling it. And she's like, oh, this green man.
So Nebby, what do you think of everybody else on the crew? Dish, girl, spill the tea.
At this point, she kind of looks at you, and she's like, look, if I was here to talk about other people of the crew that are working just as hard as I am right now, then I wouldn't be right here trying to work along. We are a family. We work together. There is no gossip. We don't talk about each other. We respect each other. We work well together. Now, you're slacking off on those onions over there. Get the chopping.
Okay. Below the screen, you see, in this is feelings are hurt.
And at this point, everything's going as normal. So come midday, I'll have you guys go ahead and make your checks again. So Envis, go ahead and give me your survival check for helping with cooking.
Okay. Oh, that's a nat 20.
Helmy and Nuru, go ahead and give me your acrobatics checks as well for helping.
Acrobatics. Whew, don't let me down. Damn it.
Oh, no.
All right.
Oh, no. Ola's going to hate you.
Shit. She already does.
All right. So let's see. You failed that against Casa.
I was really trying.
And Nuru, you passed yours. So, Nuru, you're actually doing really well swabbing the deck. You're used to water anyways. So, Helmy, as you're trying to make small talk with Casa, just trying to get her to be, like, a little bit more friendlier to you, you actually let one of the ropes fall off the hook. And Casa quickly grabs a hold of it and jumps up and pulls it back down with her weight and wraps it back around, and she looks at you. She's like, if you're gonna help me, you need to do it right. If you're not, get out of my sights.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm just very new to this. Doing my best, promise?
Yeah, well, just do better. Ship depends on us. At the same time, Nuru, you're hearing this, but Matt was getting to the point where he's starting to mop a little bit closer than you are again. And he just looks down and be like, wow, that's a really clean. You're doing good. I like it.
Thanks. So is Olo always like that? Like, she always, like, strictly business?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's not strictly business. She's, like, if she's got a task, she's going to do the task. She expects it to go well. But, like, we all kind of look up to her, in a sense. Like, even though she's kind of younger than us, but she knows how to... She's always watched out for us. Even though she's younger, she's always acted like she's older. And she's been there when everything's gotten a little bit tough. So, we respect her opinions.
Hmm. Wow.
And as he says that, you hear Olo, yet again, this time yelling at Ade, like, Ade, you're letting one slip. Gotta fix it. And he's like, oh, sorry, Olo. And he quickly runs over and starts wrapping it back around the hook.
All right, I'm going to go about my business mopping up.
Everyone is at ease at their stations. The sails curve forward like the breast of great birds, and the deck is drying in the wind. Under the ship, the sea swells gently in glittering blues and small white caps. A mirror of the sky, the songs of men and the calls of gulls ring out over the craft on its steady course ahead. As the sun reaches its highest point in the sky abound and the ship rocks side to side, you hear a familiar voice calling for everyone's attention. It's Nebby, as she calls for lunch on the second day. Helmy, Invis, and Neru all take their respective breaks to head down to the galley below to grab a bite after a long morning's work.
I'm going to sit down with our near Olo. How's it going, Olo?
Olo sees you come over, and she just looks over, but... And she goes back to ripping back into her role. She's like,
Well, it's going. I'm just, you know, trying to eat.
I wanted to ask you some questions whenever you get some time. You know, it can be after you eat, and that's perfectly fine.
And she kind of stops, tilts her head to the side, raises an eyebrow, looks over to you. And she's just like, huh. And she lets a big gulp go down as she swallows. Oh, you got questions. Well, I've got questions too. Like, how's your integrity? So far, I haven't seen you do that much work. Tell you what, you want to talk to me? Come work with me tomorrow on the rigs.
I'm going to lean into Olo after our little exchange. And I'm going to say, I'm going to work the hell out of them rigs. I'm going to get up and walk back to where, Invis and Helmy are.
As each of them sit around, they discuss what they've learned about the crew thus far, revealing that Olo, while the youngest Wycott triplet, is often sought after for guidance and leadership and considered the leader of the pack. Cassa, a sharp-tongued half-elf and the sister of Banda, prefers to be left alone to do her normal routine rather than converse with small talk. And Nebby, the white-haired cook, loves her position and sees the crew as her kin. Her loyalty runs deep, as does her desires to keep everyone well-fed. With stomachs full and spirits lifted, our players once again set off to their task of the day. With each passing hour, they become more at ease to life on the vessel and fall into a routine as the Folly's hull cuts through the sea towards Farzine. The exception being every so often, Invis becoming a little bit greener around the gills and losing some of his lunch as he chunks it up into a pail in the galley. As deep as his stomach is, I personally don't think he's going to miss it. Before they realize it, each of them have lost themselves in their task. Helmy unfortunately unable to impress Cassa as she looks at her with contempt, as Helmy trying her absolute best still manages to lose control of one of the sails, causing Cassa's eyes to turn into sharp daggers as they glare into her soul.
As I'm mopping around the deck, I see this, and I just, like, lean over to Helmy, and I go, yeah, I don't think she likes you much.
Yes, thank you. I can definitely tell that as well.
Matwa and Neru steadily keeping the decks dry, but not before Karma grabs a hold of Neru, causing him to slip and fall after his exchange with Helmy. Invis and Nebby, however, are still down below preparing the evening's meals, and everything is going according to plan. Each of the crew have been steadily working throughout the day. Mosetta has been swabbing the galley. Banda's been keeping the storage in check from the crashing of waves so nothing falls over. Each of the triplets in their respective areas, often working together, bouncing from one side to the other to secure the sails and keep travel smooth. Aiden Pasala stands atop the crew while at the helm, providing criticism when needed, but mostly keeping the folly on course. And then you see Captain and Nookie doing their part where they are needed. As the sun begins to set on the second day of their travels, each of them now taking shelter below and beginning to fall asleep from exhaustion. Now, as the night before, Banda's melodies carve away into the deepest recesses of their mind and lull them into a sense of relaxation for the night ahead. By dawn's light, another day has begun. Just as one before it, Captain Senza and First Mate Pasala are awaiting Invis, Helmy, and Neeru on deck as they are tasked with their duties for the day. Light filters through layers of clouds to dapple the vastness of the sea in great swaths of color. Cold gray waves take on greener or bluer hues, with distant sunbreaks painting in flashes of silver. It feels open, immense, and forlorn. But then a splash in the water and a disappearing tail makes you realize you float above this unknown world, ignorant of its teeming population. Regardless of the time of day or the weather conditions, the main deck of this ship is always bustling with activity. The wooden planks are constantly swabbed out by the ratings of who aspire to one day have their turn at the crow's nest, the charts, or even possibly the helm. Immense coils of rope lay neatly wound in between stations, carefully avoided by the sailors adjusting the sails at every order bellowed by the first mate. Timbers creak in counterpoint to the waves rocking the ship from side to side. Canvases, sails flap and billow as the wind drives the ship forward. The taste of salt permeates every breath, while a damp smell wafts from the freshly swabbed deck. Dark wood, swollen, and watertight. Another day at sea has begun again.
Helmy, what are you doing? Are you going to try to work with Casa again?
Oh, no. I'm not a glutton for punishment. What does Mozetta do during the day?
He just swabs the decks. Like that. He swabs the lower deck. That's all he does.
Okay. I think I'd like to hang out with Mozetta today.
Alright, so as you walk up to Mozetta, you get a good look at him, and this massive, hulking body. You look into his stern face, scars running straight down. It looks like he's been dismembered before. His shirt ripped and tattered, like they don't give him the clothing he deserves, and he's standing there holding a mop.
Oh, good morning. I would love to lend a hand with you today, if you wouldn't mind.
As you ask that, he looks you up and down and just hands you his mop. And he walks away, and then he comes back with another one, and he's back to swapping the decks. As the scene comes back to the main deck, Neeru begins to walk over to Olo. As he walks over to her, she looks him up and down, and she's got a look of impressed on her face, as if she never expected this well-kept, lazy individual to be willing to come to work with her.
Oh, and there's a whole new face of determination on this baby.
That's what all right. She looks at you and be like, huh, wasn't expecting you to show up. All right, well, come here and I'll start teaching you how to work the rigs.
But it's not like I had anywhere else to be.
Give me an acrobatics check.
11.
As you're quickly getting hold of it, like you almost slip up, but you catch yourself and you fix the sail before it messes up that much. And Olo looks over to you and she's like, huh. Maybe you are worth more than what you look.
Oh.
I could say the same about you.
Feisty. Huh. You might be all right. Invis, what are you doing for the day?
What does Banda do?
Banda is basically, Banda. He does a little bit of everything. Sometimes he swabs the decks. Sometimes he's working with cargo. He helps cook every so often. He just kind of moves around where he's needed. Right now, he is also swabbing the lower deck.
I want to shadow Banda. Hi there, best friend. I'm going to help you out today.
Well, it is,
If it isn't my little green lizard friend, so glad of you to come help me. I heard that you were quite great swapping the deck upstairs. So, yeah, looks like you've already got the hang of it. Oh, I see that you've even took the head of a mop and tied it to your tail. That is interesting. I do like it. All right. We're going to get along great.
That's a little trick I learned from back in the day with working with my teacher, and him having me clean the shop. And Invis proceeds to tell him his whole life story.
And he's just, after a while, he just looks exasperated. And then, like, this keeps going on till, like, midday. As you're doing this, Banda looks over to you. He's just like, you're a very peculiar, green friend. I haven't seen too many lizard folk around. Honestly, I haven't seen any of the races that you three are. So having you on the ship has brought a lot of, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Diversity.
And he looks over to you and he just kind of smiles and be like, you are absolutely right, my friend. And he puts emphasis on friend. So like, and it, like, he's happy to talk. Happy to talk to you. He's like, you are absolutely right, my friend. There is diversity. Y'all have brought a lot of diversity to us. And he's just kind of...
Friend.
And he's just kind of chipper. And his attitude towards you has kind of changed a little bit.
What does that attitude change?
You don't know.
Insight?
Yeah, you can, but you still don't know.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, not with that.
Definitely not. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Good try.
Niru, let's go back to you and Olo.
So, Olo, I'm assuming you're probably the oldest of the three triplets, since the other two tend to listen to you.
Well, actually, I'm younger by about 2 minutes.
Well, I'm guessing your guys' mother was in charge of the house then?
Yeah. You know that you could say that. And she quickly answers and she goes back to adjusting the ropes for the incoming wind coming in. And speaking of, acrobatics check.
As I'm sitting here doing this, I go, what brings you guys out of the mountains to the sea? Oh, no, you suck, Di, you suck.
As you ask that, a gust of wind blows in and you let too much slack off of the line and the sail almost gets away from you, and Olo quickly reaches over and grabs a hold of it and buckles it back down, and she's just like, see, this is why we don't talk that much. We just do our job. All right. Helmy, you're up.
Yay. In true Helmy fashion, Helmy is trying to make small talk with Mazetta. So, how did you find yourself on this vessel? What brought you to this place?
As you ask that, you kind of stop mopping for a second, but give me a acrobatics roll.
Oh, here we go. I'm so done. I'm so done.
All right. Mozetta just kind of turns to you and he sees that you stop mopping, and he just looks at you, looks down, looks back up, mop, and he goes back to it.
And with that, Helmy, you begin swabbing the deck. You spend hours upon hours going back and forth across the deck, watching Mozetta, trying to talk to Mozetta, Banda. Everybody's just mopping away. Every so often, you get hit with an ice-cold drop of water as it drips through from the main deck. And this continues, and this is going into the evening of the third day.
My goodness, who knew that swabbing the lower deck would be a full day's worth of work? Oh, well, here we are.
And there's four of you down there.
There's a lot of us swabbing the deck. It's taking a very long time for all of us. Okay.
So as you're cleaning the area that you're in, Mozetta looks down, see it kind of begin to sparkle a little bit, and he takes his gigantic hand and just puts it atop your head and just pats and he goes back.
Oh, that made my heart a little warm.
Oh. All right, so now we are going back to Nyiru. Still trying to talk to Olo, or are you more focused on...
No, fuck Olo. I don't want to talk to her no more. She's going to do my work.
All right, give me the acrobatics roll.
I don't get advantage for that. It's bullshit. Doing an okay job.
You still passed. So Olo looks over to you and she smiles at you, Nyiru, and she just says, good job. Good job.
That turned top. Nyiru is very visibly pouting.
Time moves as it does, the high sun beginning to set behind the horizon, each of the three gaining slight praise for their efforts from the crew, growing ever more into their favor as they were once outsiders brought into their circle. As with anything, it takes time and effort to build up trust. By sundown, a cold wind chills the night sky as a few clouds roll in through the night, ultimately unleashing its cold rain onto the main deck, causing some of the crew to come down into the cabin to sleep their night away. Through the night, the small storm passes and the ship continues forward as it slices through the waters, causing white-capped waves to rise and disperse as they move from the old wooden hull of the Folly, the salt-laced water constantly splashing onto the main deck and dripping through the cracks to the lower. The salty air can be smelt all throughout the vessel. By midday of their fourth day aboard the vessel, forgetting all about the cargo until this very moment, Envis finally remembers and decides to approach Captain Senza.
So, Captain, what is this we're hauling? What are we doing? Why are we going over here? Why is your crew so weird? Why does nobody want to talk about things?
Yeah, she never told us. Yeah, that's a good question.
She leans into you, Envis, and where, like, because she sees everybody else around her, but she's treating you differently. She leans into you and she explains, y'all are carrying precious stones to a group of priests in Farzine.
What kind of priests?
Don't know. I just know that they are paying some pretty good penny for these green soapstones. I think they're not much to look at, but they're highly prized. I guess for religious rites?
I would say that Envis is the type of person that, like, when he responds, even if she's whispering, it's going to be like, green soapstone? Like, what are they going to use the green soapstone for? Like, so loud that everybody else can hear it?
At this point, like, as soon as you start to say green, she quickly grabs your, like, big jowl and just closes it.
Would I know of anything of that, like, would any sort of rites or any sort of thing, like, magical or alchemical thing that would require... green soapstone?
Unfortunately, with your background, you never really studied much into religious rites. Helmy and Nyiru, as you turn to look around for Envis, you overhear Envis begin to loudly speak for a small fraction of a second before seeing that he and the captain are off to the side of the galley and speaking very quietly about something, where you then notice the captain is holding his jowls shut.
Yeah, I'll walk over and I'll be like, so, yeah, Captain, you never told us what we were. Oh, you said you'd let us know once we signed
up. Yeah.
All right. Both of y'all give me a persuasion check.
Don't worry, guys. I got this. Yeah, I got this. 17.
Where are my persuasion? Damn it. To clarify, I didn't say anything. I just walked up.
That explained it all, too. So you just try to overhear it.
Yeah.
So she gets in close to you, Nyiru, and she tells you the exact same thing. She says that y'all are hauling green soapstones for priest.
Would I know of anything that involves these stones?
Are you wanting to look at them to see whether or not you do?
Yeah. Captain, may I see if I know anything about them?
Give me another persuasion check.
13.
After Neru works his silver tongue, Captain Senza escorts the three of you behind most of the current cargo to a small crate made of worn wood held together by iron bevels. Upon the front of the crate lies a heavy iron lock that is keeping the crate safe. As you follow her, Mosetta begins watching the three of you closely. Not the captain. As you get closer to the box, however, Senza turns and gives Mosetta a nod, causing him to turn around and go back to swabbing the lower deck. You see, while I don't know much about Mosetta, he does make an excellent guard for certain cargo. Senza reaches down into her armor and around her neck, where a small rope necklace holds a small iron key. Taking it, placing it into the lock, you hear a small click as the iron lock opens and she opens the crate to show you what's inside. Once open, you see the crate is filled with a straw and a bag. Senza opens the bag and lays the soapstone gems out for all of you to take a look at. The soapstone gems aren't much to look at. While large, they are a dull shade of green, of varying shapes and sizes from squares to that of a pillar, you know, rectangle, but coming to a point at the end. Neru, by looking at them, you can ascertain that they are definitely not worth the hefty profit that Senza has spoken about from selling them.
Can I, like, look at them further? Like,
yeah,
you can try to investigate them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Would that be investigation or perception?
Investigation.
I don't know how to pronounce this other thing. Is it Yog-Sothery? Would that be involved in this?
Yeah, John, give me that.
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
Your dice hit my dice, and it made it a worse roll.
You got your peanut butter in my chocolate.
John, give that to me one more time, just because, just making sure the dice don't actually interfere with each other.
Hey,
what is Yog-Sothery? What is that?
Absolutely great question. So for our listeners, allow me to explain. As this book utilizes the Cthulhu mythos written by Sandy Peterson for Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, this campaign written from that mythos will also be utilizing certain abilities from that book. Think of it kind of like a Lovecraftian Dungeon Master's Guide.
Okay. What is it?
So Yog-Sothery is a wisdom skill, much like religion or arcana. Measures your ability to recall mythos, lore, or formulate new understanding about a mythos phenomenon from seemingly unrelated clues. The mythos includes essentially all topics covered in this book, similar and related creatures, forces, alien planes of existence, unstable magic, and science, means of bypassing the laws of time and space, and lore regarding most operations. In addition, this skill can be used in place of other skills to cast spells as formulas. Gaining proficiency in Yog-Sothery strains the mind of most creatures other than aberrations, fiends, oozes, and undead. If you are proficient, you take a penalty equal to half your proficiency bonus on saving skills against a mechanic called Dread, along with confusion, insanity, madness, magical effects that give the frightened condition, and similar effects. Further study into the cosmics leads to a weaker mind where you are more susceptible to the eldritch entities. And that is what Yog-Sothery is. So Neru, as you use this skill to take a look at the gemstones, you get a very odd feeling from them. It makes you uneasy.
I put them back down. I just tell her to close them back up. I don't like it at all. I don't like it one bit.
What's happening, Neru?
I look at them. They make me feel uneasy. I don't like this at all.
Looks pretty normal to me.
So they don't appear to be anything spectacular. Can I do like a? Can I try to see if they're magical in any way?
Yeah. Give me an arcane check.
Okay. Oh, it's kind of knock. Yeah. No. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
So you aren't sensing anything off of them.
It's interesting. I can't sense anything magical about these. I don't understand why they would be making you feel so uneasy.
I don't like it one bit.
And do Do you know anything about anything more? I turn to the captain at this point. Do you know anything more about the priests in Farzine that these are going to?
Since, is this why no one wanted to be involved in this? Like, did everyone else know these were here? Or are we the only ones?
To answer your question, Nero, was it? Everyone aboard knows that we have a job to deliver this cargo safely to the island. They also know that these gems are being sold quite handsomely, and that payout is all that it takes. Everyone here knows the risk, and they knew about what was going on with the folly before I took it. Now, you, female, as for who they are going to, as I mentioned, they are going to a certain priest that are paying well above their value. They could use them to raise a demon, for all I care. As she says this, the lanterns flicker, and the faintest chill runs down your spine, Nero. She then takes her leave, and she walks away.
I don't know if we're going to get any more information from her at this point. She's just a job for them. I'm weary about these stones, if they're causing you to feel this way.
Does anybody else feel like the rest of the crew has been pretty tight-lipped about stuff and pretty uptight and hard to get to know?
Very much so, yes.
I've not noticed that at all.
I mean, considering that we were extremely eager to join and help them from the very beginning, I have found it quite difficult to communicate with many of them.
At this point, Nebby overhears the conversation as she's cooking, and she just kind of peeks her head out for a second. And she's just like, you gotta understand, children, that a lot of people believe that this ship is cursed. And they're here to do a job. They're here to make the money for the next job. So they're just, everybody's just trying to work.
Wait, cursed? Why do people think it's cursed?
And because you asked that, Emphis, she tells you. And she's like, well, you see, my green friend, the folly sat in port at Rosante for months before Senza decided to claim it. You know, it's widely believed by the crew that the folly's cursed. And that big hulking form, you know, that we call Basetta, does little to, shall we say, ease their fears. But, you know, times are tough, and the captain pays a fair wage. Even if she didn't, well, you wouldn't risk much to get out of Rosante. And the stories about Farzine are like something out of a dream. Just going there is worth it, in my opinion.
What's on Farzine?
It's an exotic island. Jungles, exotic plants, exotic animals. They don't see much outside travel.
I recognize that I don't have a relationship with Nebby, so I kind of whisper to Envis. It still doesn't quite explain why everybody thinks it's cursed. They just think it. There isn't any explanation. Do weird things happen? Did Masetta come with the ship? I still have some concerns about that.
Yeah, Mosetta actually came with the ship. We don't know why. Don't know how. We know that he's not, we'll just say normal for now. He's been here. He was here before anybody else claimed the ship. When the captain took hold of the ship, he started working for the captain.
How long was the ship just like sitting at the docks? Was it just there? What brought it here? Why did it sit at the docks for so long?
It sat at the docks for months. The previous owner, they thought it was cursed. So he sold it. And then nobody wanted it.
Why?
But why did he think it was cursed besides Mosetta? Like, did something happen? Or is it just because that there's a big freaky guy on the boat that comes with the boat? Like, you know, your sandwich at the restaurant comes with the bag of chips. Did they just think Mosetta was a cursed, haunted bag of chips? And so they thought the whole boat was haunted? Like, I don't understand. What happened on the boat?
Right.
She sees you getting overly enthusiastic and kind of concerned about it. And she just kind of shakes her head. She's like, we don't know.
Oh my God.
So before we leave this area, is there anyone else around besides just Nebby?
I mean, Banda and Mosetta.
Are they watching us?
I mean, you know, they're both in points. It's a small enough space to where they can see you.
Because I kind of want one of these stones. Can I try to take one of the stones out?
You could, but they've been locked back up.
Okay. Well, if I remember right, she walked away before they were closed up, right?
She closed it as y'all were talking. I forgot to tell you that she put the lock back on it. My apologies.
All right. Well, we'll look at Mosetta for a moment. You know, whether he's looking at me or not. And cursed person. Interesting.
Hearing something about a cursed person, I don't know. I feel like that would strike a chord with Invis.
Yeah, I could see him getting a little uneasy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to kind of make him a little bit nervous and like a little concerned.
So Banda actually sees this because he pays, like, he's paying attention to you, Invis. And he looks over to you and he walks over, be like, not feeling well, my friend. Did I overhear that you were asking Nebby about Farzine?
Yeah, I was. Sorry, I'm just a little...
I have a little bit of information. I can't provide much, but I do have a little bit of information.
What's that?
Well, you see, everybody considered Farzine a paradise, you know? It's protected by the Goddess of Light. It's kind of, it's like a sheltered harbor. It's on the south face of an island and watched over by her statue, which is like 100 feet high from what I understand. And it just soars high into the sky. Legend has it, it protects the island and all of its inhabitants. The even goddess is a blazing beacon for all sailors. And it can see from miles, even in the darkest night. Like the bleakest storm, the densest fog, you can still see it. But, you know, the city itself, from what I hear, is walled. And the Watch's headquarters rest somewhere near the harbor? I think it's at the base of the volcano.
The what?
But... like, this is all hearsay. None of us here have ever been to Farzine.
Like, the what's headquarters rests at the base of the what?
The Watch's headquarters. You know, like, guards and stuff.
Oh, okay. What do you know about Mosetta?
I know that he was here with the ship when we got it.
What do they mean by cursed? Is Mosetta cursed?
We don't know.
It doesn't bother you at all?
He doesn't bother me. I get paid. Well, when we finish our jobs, we get paid.
Fair enough.
How do you know that? This is your first job on this boat, is it not?
On this boat, yes, but we have worked with... it's not the captain's first voyage. We were on another ship. Her other ship kind of sank.
Oh, really? That's information that would have been nice to know ahead of time.
Wasn't her fault. It was pirates.
That's fair.
So you trust the captain, but so this is your first voyage with Mosetta?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you all treat him as if he's a cursed individual? Do you treat him as part of the crew?
He does his job. Like, he does make us a little uneasy because he doesn't, like, talk much. I don't know what's in his head. He's got, like, all these stitches. I don't even know whether or not he's got a beating heart inside of him. But I do know that, you know, he works hard. I'm one of the ones that I try to make friends with everybody, so I just stay right down here.
Well, he seems like a perfectly fine individual to me and should be treated as such.
I agree. I want to go try and talk to Mosetta.
I'll go with.
Yeah, I was going to say Helmy's probably got the best standing with him.
I'll just approach and say, hello again, my friend. It's good to see that you've kept the decks nice and clean again today.
Ugh.
Yes, so do you have any knowledge of your history, of where you come from?
And like, he's got this really blank stare and he's just like, ugh, no.
No, you don't. Do you have a family? Anybody back home?
Family.
This ship is your family. The people on this ship you consider your family?
Family.
Right. Do they treat you as such, as family?
Work.
So this is your home, then? This is what you consider your home?
Home.
Have you ever left the boat?
home. And at this point, he turns around and just keeps mopping.
Mosetta, are you cursed?
He doesn't respond. He just keeps mopping. He's a man of very few words.
I was really thinking that might, like, get him. Ugh.
No, he's so far very emotionless. So.
All right.
So, you guys spend a good while talking, trying to figure out everything, learning about everything. And it's past dusk. And the days begin to end, you know, nothing is out of the ordinary. As you guys wake up this morning, as every morning, you and the crew awaken to find Captain Senza and Basala already on the deck waiting for you. Nuki's unnerving stare tracks you as you go about the duties laid before you. The others shake the morning stiffness from their limbs.
I give Nuki my own unnerving stare, a stare that says... breakfast.
And in Nookie's head, she hears the words, breakfast.
At this point, Captain Senza, she assigns everybody a position. Helmy, you get put with Kasa.
Oh, no.
Envis, you get put with Ade. And then Miru, you get put back with Aiden.
All right.
As each of you receive your orders from Captain Senza, you make your way across the salt dampened deck. Splashes from the sea constantly rising over the side and spreading across the swollen lumber that compiles the deck of the Folly. Coiled rope hangs meticulously in place as the crew is preparing for another day of sailing at sea. The large canvas sails being let down to the proper degree, the triplets yelling back and forth across the deck as they usually do. The deck is as busy as usual, as each of you begin working at your stations. In less than a couple hours, the bright colors of the morning sky disappear and turn into the purest blue. Clouds strewn about the sky and resemble the softest pillows you could ever lay on. Overall, it's a good day for sailing. As the day creeps on, Helming began a nervous wreck around Kasa, ends up making mistakes as her hands jitter and reflexes are slower than normal. Envis, with his brute strength and his firm grip, is easily able to hold and guide the sails to their proper orientations, causing Ade to be beyond pleased at what his crewmate can do. Nero stands atop the pinnacle of the ship, looking out over the crew while Aiden continues their conversation about the best and most efficient ways to navigate the old ship as effectively as possible. Captain Senza and Nuki are on deck as well, lending Olo a hand on port side while watching Ade and Envis work on starboard. As the day boils on, this has been a smooth ride for all, each of the crew becoming more at ease with the three newest sailors. As mid-afternoon breaks and the sun starts its descent, the waves become harder, rougher, and more fierce than they have been. White caps of the waves rise almost as high as the ship before crashing into it and causing the ship to rock harder than usual. As the ship sways more so than usual, Envis runs to the railing where he loses his lunch into the ocean yet again. There one minute, gone the next, the sun is nowhere to be found. Darkening clouds and dread filled the air as waves continue to become rougher. Envis, Helmy, and Niru, I want each of you to roll your respective rolls. However, this time at disadvantage. As the ship rocks harder than it has before, none of you have ever faced a storm at sea, so none of you were prepared for what to expect, as each of you became distracted by what's going on around you.
I got a nat 20 and a nat 1.
Oh, damn, a nat 1.
Still succeed. I think I succeed. I got a 10. That seems to be what the benchmark has been.
In the blink of an eye, the sea turns treacherous. Black clouds issue forth green, yellow lightning, and the waves rise higher, threatening to overtake the Folly. Captain Senza barks orders to the crew, and you find yourself in a fight with a preternaturally strong storm. The angry ocean seems intent upon destruction, attacking the very sky above it. Swells like mountains with steep-sided valleys, down one of which the ship falls. The bowsprit drives like a spear into the wave, salt water crashing over each sailor and gear alike. Then it pitches upward like a rocket, seeking the star of oblivion that hides behind death black clouds.
Well, that is how this chapter ends. Oh, you might want to stick around for more, my friend. And soon, oh so very soon, we will continue our tale. A tale of feats and fates.